Blog Talk Radio.
My dear friends, Christians, non-Christians, and you of all thoughts, opinions, and ideas, I welcome you to this show tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about one of my very favorite writers of all time, that great epic poet, the poet of poets, the thinkers of thinkers, the writer of writers, the man after my own heart, and who I love and admire and have done so my entire life, John Milton. But I'm going to conclude this show with a few words about the last time, the parable of the unjust judge. First of all, I hope you know that I am a politically incorrect show. I am concerned with honesty and truth and honest discernment. I'm not concerned with political rhetoric. I am a Christian. I adhere to the creeds of the church and Holy Scripture, and I run two radio shows, as well as I'm a writer. I've written 10 books and over 500 blogs. I'd like to talk about the parable of the unjust judge because I didn't get a chance to finish my talk about that. This is a very significant parable, and it's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. We can never really plumb enough the depths of Jesus' words and statements, but he does say that a woman comes to a unjust judge who neither fears God or regards man. There was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, "Vindicate me against its adversary." Finally, he gave in to her importunity. And then Jesus concludes, "Will not God also vindicate the elect who cry to him?" So the key meaning of this story and parable is that the widow is the persistence of prayer. Jesus says, if you persist in prayer, God will hear you just as he hears the words of the elect. It is not that prayer has to be repeated, but it is the persistence of the petition. In this case, the widow bothers the judge, and he gives in to her cries. And the words of the parable is there's an analogy of here the unjust judge being seen as God, who neither fears nor regards man. It's quite difficult to follow that idea. And the widow is seen as the human being who is trying to have her case heard by the unjust judge, who might be analogized to God. And Jesus says that the persistent, just as the widow's persistent cries were heard, so will the prayers of the elect be heard. So Jesus is particularly concerned with telling us that prayer is something that we have to persist in. It is not that God is going to give in. I don't think it means that. But he wants us to pray to him, and he does hear us in his love. And then Jesus says that God will not abandon anybody, but they must pray. The idea is he will not abandon anybody, just like the widow of the elect. And he will give in. He will listen to their faith and prayer. And the church in prayer must be persistent. It is not continued prayer is needed, but prayer with a relationship to God. That's really what he means here. Now, I want to talk about something else here. One of my very favorite writers of all time, a writer whom I love beyond belief and who I cannot read enough and know enough, John Milton. John Milton was quite a learned man. As far as I know about his life, he's the author of the only epic poem in English, which is comparable to Homer and Virgil and Dante, and possibly Edmund Spenser, who was wrote an epic, but a fairy queen, but it's better defined as a romantic effort. But Milton had the thinking. His mind was so great that he wrote an epic concerned with the fall of man into sin, which of an event Milton regarded as a watershed in history. He was a very bright man, John Milton, and he knew the Bible and the biblical event of the fall of man into sin. He saw it as the event of all time in history. And so he wrote this very great poem, Paradise Lost. And he wrote it while he was blind and couldn't see, which shows the power of his mind and the strength of his spirit. And he also wrote while blind, and again, Paradise Regained, and Samson and Agonistes, a play modeled on Greek tragedy. That he wrote and composed these poems while blind suggests to me the very strength of his mind and will. It is a very great poem, and I'm telling you how great it is. So for me to speak of this giant in thought and literature is a privilege. He was born in 1608 and died in 1674, and he wasn't merely a poet, but served as a civil servant for the Commonwealth under Cromwell, which deposed the king. The king was eventually reinstated. He composed Paradise Lost in 1667, which for me is one of the greatest works of literature ever written. He also wrote in Latin, Greek, and Italian, and he also wrote Defended Freedom of Speech in a tract called the Areopagitica, written in condemnation of censorship. He was taught by a private tutor and graduated from Cambridge College in 1629, I think is the time. Yes, it is. Hold on one second. It is 1629. He then undertook 6 years of private study in ancient and modern literature, philosophy, and theology, and then produced two of his most wonderful lyric poems, very beautiful lyrics, Comus and Lycidas, very great poetic works. I can't recommend them enough to a person who wants to be inspired and who wants their minds uplifted. In 1638, he undertook a tour of France and Italy, and he undertook to associate himself with the Puritan and parliamentary cause. He was, with the victory of Parliament, deposing the king. He wrote in defense of Republican causes and was appointed Latin secretary by the Council of State in 1649, and his position was to compose foreign correspondence in Latin. Sadly and tragically, Milton became blind in 1652, and with the king being restored, he had to go into hiding while a warrant was issued for his arrest and his writings were burnt. After that, a general pardon was issued, but he was nevertheless arrested. So he was put in jail with the restoration of the king because he associated himself with the Republican cause and wrote tracts and essays in support of it. And when he went into hiding after the restoration of King Charles in 1660, while a warrant was issued for his arrest and his writings were burned. After a general pardon was issued, he was still arrested. He went into hiding, and a warrant was issued for his arrest, and after a general pardon was issued, he was nevertheless arrested and briefly imprisoned after friends intervened. He married for a third time in 1663 and lived a quiet life until 1674 when he died of lung disease, consumption. Milton and his first wife, Mary Powell, had 4 children, and in 1656 he married Catherine Woodcock, and she died in 1658. So I'm more interested in not so much his life, but he was a Republican, and he supported the Republican regime after the king was deposed, King Charles, and he wrote in defense of it. He was secretary for Latin tongues and wrote correspondence with other countries in that tongue. And in 1652, he became totally blind, and when King Charles was restored, he had to go into hiding when a warrant was issued for his arrest and his writings were burnt. But a general pardon was issued, but he was nevertheless arrested and imprisoned before friends intervened. So he had quite a difficult life, blindness, imprisonment. But despite all these obstacles, all these difficulties, his great work, Paradise Lost, was composed by the poet blind and impoverished between 1658 and 1664. He wrote this very great poem. It's a fantastic poem because of he saw the importance of the fall of man into sin as the cosmic event of all time. He defined history by that event. And the poem, Paradise Lost, He wrote it between 1658 and 1664, and it was dictated to aides in his employment and reflects his depression and despair at the failure of the revolution. It reflects optimism in human nature. He then wrote in 1667, he sold the publication rights to Paradise Lost, and then produced its sequel, Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes. So Milton's theology and philosophy were Protestant and Puritan. He was a Puritan. He was a Protestant. He was not allied with the Anglican Church. And he had a difference of opinion with them. But his political views were Republican and allied with Cromwell. So he was both a Protestant and Puritan, not an Anglican, not a Catholic. You might say he's would be closer to American Congregational Church or Presbyterian, while his political views were Republican and allied with Cromwell. He believed in free speech. As I say, he wrote that tract, the Areopagitica, in defense of free speech and toleration, and supported divorce, but abandoned the campaign for divorce after 1635. Once Paradise Lost was published, Milton's stature as an epic poet was immediately recognized, and his influence has been long-lasting. I love Paradise Lost, and I love Milton, the Republican Milton, the Puritan Milton, the Protestant Milton, the Milton who was the great rebel of all of his time. He had political Republican views, not monarchical, not allied with the monarchy, and allied himself with Cromwell. He supported free speech, very important to him, and toleration, and sought to support divorce, but abandoned his campaign for divorce after 1645. But once Paradise Lost was published, Milton's stature as an epic poet was immediately recognized, and as a poet, he is one of my all-time favorites. His short poems are of great structure and beauty, and the themes are very moving. I've always loved his short poems, particularly. These poems will always be embedded in my memory and include the very great short lyrics of L'Allegro, Il Penseroso, On the Morning of Christ's Nativity, Lycidas and Comus. These short poems, for me, some of them are not so short, particularly Comus. It's a mask, but they are all very great works of art. As I say, the short poems, the great short poems, I'll say them again because I think you should remember them when you want to get his writings, L'Allegro, Il Penseroso, On the Morning of Christ's Nativity, Lycidas and Comus. These short poems are very great works of art. Of course, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained are the ultimate monuments of his genius. This very great man, this man who, I repeat, undertook to write an epic poem while blind. And Mortimer Adler has said, the person who undertakes to write an epic poem has one of the most difficult tasks before him. He said it in How to Read a Book. These short poems are all very great works of art, as I mentioned to you. Yet it is in Paradise Lost that will always be part of me forever, not only because it is a great epic poem, but because a Christian, I agree and know to be true, that history and the ultimate event in history was mankind's fall into sin and his redemption and restoration. These were the key events of world history for Milton. He was a thinker, a very substantial thinker. He was a Puritan and a dissenter from the Church of England. But Milton saw world events in history through the periscope of Christian belief. And he defined the ultimate events in history as mankind's fall into sin and his redemption from sin in Christ. Finally, let me talk a little about Samson Agonistes. This is a biblical tragedy based on the Greek tragic model. Again, it's Samson Agonistes, a biblical Greek tragedy formulated from the biblical model. And this play, like Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, call me to the final truth found only in the biblical revelation and in Christ. That is why I love Milton, because he bids me to follow him in his thinking to the final truth found only in Christ and in the biblical revelation. He defined the world events of the world history events in terms of two terms, in terms of the fall of man into sin and his rescue and redemption in paradise regained. These poems and the thinking of this man are the foundations of my life. And his thoughts and perceptions will always move the world to the level and know I to be true, the fall and redemption and the Savior and Redeemer of the world and the creation. These poems and this man's thinking are so fantastic that they are the foundations of my life. And Milton astutely recognized, and I recognized in his writings, his thoughts and perceptions. For me, John Milton's thoughts and perceptions will always move the world to the level he and I know to be true, the fall of man and the redemption in Christ, the Redeemer of the world and the creation. So, as I say, these poems and this man's thinking, this dissenter, this man in favor of divorce and free thinking, he was ahead of his time. You might say he'd be a left-wing liberal today. I think he would be. In the modern world, he would be to the left. But that's what he believed in. No censorship, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, free divorce. These were things in which he was ahead of his time and might fit in better in the 1980s or 90s than then. He was that smart. But as I say, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes are the foundations of my life. And they, as Milton recognized, I recognize in Milton's thoughts and perceptions, will always move the world to the level he and I to be true, the ultimate fall and redemption in the Savior and Redeemer of the world, the fall of man into sin. And I share that sin as much as I know that to be true, and our redemption in Christ. I thank you for listening to me. I hope you will read John Milton. I hope, my dear parents, you will take your children with a library card to the library, borrow his book, buy his books, read his books. They are irreplaceable and are of eternal value to the world. Another world figure I am speaking about. And I ask you, my friends, in school, and out of school, wherever you are, read this book and get it. And spend time thinking with Milton over the great issues of life that he presented in these great poems, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes, and the short lyrics. Thanks very much. I enjoyed it.